Okay, so this is an addendum to our shiur on Friday with regards to the nature of the malacha of choresh. So we mentioned on then that there seem to be two basic positions in Rishonim as to how to define the malacha of choresh, the position of Rashi that it relates to softening the ground, and the position of the Rambam that it relates to improving the ground, yipui ara. Now, this may relate to, as we mentioned, a broader question of to what extent choresh, which is usually used in the context of agriculture, is it limited to agricultural actions? Would one violate if one was doing something which is only aesthetic? Now, of course, middle positions are possible. Namely, one could say that choresh, in its fundamental, was about agriculture, but once it's a malacha, so then it is forbidden even if it's for aesthetic purposes, but it still may require the ability to aid in agriculture, and therefore we saw that in some of the Rishonim, they limit choresh to, and this is, we showed, for example, in Oras Haruah and Siman Nun Hei, that choresh is only violated if you plow in an area where planting is possible. And that was where we had left it. We noted that the Mishnah Brura in his Hakdama to Siman Shin Lod Zayin, Shin Lamed Zayin rather, had said that Choresh hu echob nilamatet malachot, v'chemen shkavanah Choresh l'rapuye ara das tov l'zriya, v'gam gavanah l'hashvot agumot l'yapoto, k'dei shihiyah makom shaveh. But he brings both. He said, since his intent is to soften the earth, which makes it good for agriculture, and his intent is to smooth the ground and the holes to make it beautiful. However, at the end, he does limit it to makom haraui lizria. If it's in a house, so then some of the things you could do would be violations of malacha as well, but the malacha of bona, and this is something we already highlighted, that many actions can either be bona or choresh, depending on whether they take place in a house. I mean, now this proves that the two possibilities of ripui ara and yipui ara aren't necessarily mutually exclusive, but the basic question still remains of whether it's ripui ara and or yipui ara, question one, and then the next probably related question of whether choresh is limited to agricultural instances or not. All I want to do now is sort of run through some of the machlokot that exist. So one issue that comes up in modern psak that honestly I find to be astonishing is the machlokas Chazon Ish and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank if one is liable for plowing with a tractor. So the Chazon Ish argues that obviously one is, you're plowing with a machine that's meant to be used for plowing, so how could you say that you're not liable? But Rav Tzvi Pesach actually thinks that you are not liable for choresh d'oraisa. There may be other problems, but choresh, he thinks, you would actually have to do it yourself, and even though in theory you could violate with an animal, he thinks the machine is a bit too removed. Look there into the Tshuva of the Chazon in the Tshuva of the Har Tzvi and in the Chazon Ish for more details on that. What happens if you you do an act of choresh, of plowing and smoothing out in a place that is used for walking, so the not for planting but as a for walking? So the Gli Tal says that you would violate for bona just like you would in a house, but he thinks that if it's a place where it's neither for planting or walking, so therefore it's not under as choresh, nor is it going to be under bona, one would be patur. Entirely, the Pnei Yeshua argues on that. Another point that appears in the Gemara, we already saw in the context of Zoreya, is that watering can be one of two malachot. It can be zoreya, and that was something we discussed, because watering helps plants grow, obviously, and that is a subsidiary of zoreya, but it can also be choresh, as the Gemara notes in Moed Katan, because it is mirape ara, because Moistening the ground is also part of plowing. And this it is still true that even if you, let's say, have a drip watering system that uses very minimal water, you still need to soften the ground. You can't just put enough water for the plant to grow theoretically. Part of growing is that the ground be soft. If it's too hard, the roots are not able to penetrate the ground, and therefore the plant will die. And therefore, it's still true that in addition to plowing, you have to loosen the earth. And one way of doing that is wetting the ground, and which makes watering a possibility of both being Zoreya or Choresh. Now, one of the most relevant issues that comes up in Choresh is actually not a Choresh issue at all. It just happens to come up there, so I'm just going to mention it here, and that is the issue of Melacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa, which Adam presented some of the basic positions in his introductory shir. What is Melacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa? Is it a Melacha that's done not for its own sake? A malacha that you would rather never have had to never have gotten to the point where you needed to do it, or as Tosfos notes, it's a malacha that is done for a purpose other than that which is designated for in the Mishkan. But whatever it is, the Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Gimel tells you that Amar Rabbi Abba Chofer Guma the Shabbos Venotzarach Elafra Patur Aleh, that if you dig a hole, not because you want a hole, but because you want the dirt, so you're exempt. The Gemara says that even though normally Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Melacha Shein Tzrich LeGufa, you're obligated for, you're liable for, and only Rav Shimon exempts, here you have an added advantage because making a hole, if you don't want the hole, is Mekalkel, it's destructive. And when something's destructive, it's already not going to be d'oraisa. And if you combine mekalkel and melacha she'ein tzrich legufa, so then it's going to be pater, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara in Beitza, the Mishnah of the Gemara in Beitza, has a very important application of this, and that is with regards to strollers. The Mishnah in Beitza of Gimel and Beis says that agalasha katan tmeya medres. If you have a stroller, or according to Tosfos, not a stroller, but more of a walker, those three, you know, those like standing walkers that little kids use as they learn to walk, it can become a tumas medris, meaning the tumas zav that can only be given to something that is normally sat on if a zav sits on it. Then he tells, but Shabbos can be moved in Shabbos, ven negrelas el agave kalim, but you can only drag it on kalim, on vessels or on cloth or whatever it is, but not straight on the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol kalim in negrin chutz min agala b'nei shi kovesher. Rabbi Yehuda says no, other kalim cannot be dragged, but this stroller, this wagon can be because it is kovesher, meaning it doesn't dig a furrow. And the assumption of the Gemara seems to be that would have been the potential problem, but it doesn't do that. Instead, it flattens the ground, it compacts the ground, and it doesn't make a furrow. So the Gemara, then commenting on this, ve'ena negrelas el agabe kelim, it can only be dragged on kelim, which implies el agabe kelim in el agabe karkalo. This implies it can't be dragged on the ground. Why would that be true? So the Gemara says, my time at the kavit charitz, because it makes a ditch. So mani, who is that? Rabbi Yehuda, damar davar shem miskavein. Also, that's Rabbi Yehuda who says that anything with davar shem miskavein is still usur. Dear Rabbi Shimon, Omer Davar Shem Miskaven Mutter, because Shimon thinks that if something is not, even if it's without kavana, it would be permitted. Did Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Garad the Mita Kisei V'Savsel V'Atshal Yiskaven Lasu Skrit? As we know, Rabbi Shimon says you can drag a bench as long as you don't have intent to make a ditch. Ima Seifa. But the Gemara says, wait a second, the end of the Braisa, the end of the Mishnah rather says Rabbi Yehuda Omer in Kol Negrim Shabbos Chutz Min Agav Neishit Koveshet Neko Shekoveshet in Aval Charitz Lo Avda. But the Seifa seems to imply that it is permitted even according to Rabbi Yehuda because it's not even a Davar Shem Miskaven, it just doesn't make a ditch at all. So Gemara answers, you're right, Trei Tanoi Aliba De Rabbi Yehuda. It's two Tanaim according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara thinks that there's one position who would think that dragging a stroller makes a ditch, and therefore It is forbidden according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the other position says, no, it doesn't make a ditch. It just flattens the ground. Now, the nafka mina between those two approaches, you would think there isn't because we paskin like Reb Shimon, but that's not true because Reb Shimon is only permits when something isn't a psik resha. But what happens if it's going to be softer earth where it's almost inevitable that you're going to depress the ground? So if you hold like the position that says the reason that it's permitted to drag the stroller is simply because it's a davar sheino miskaven, so then if it's psik resha, if it's inevitable that you're going to make this ditch, this groove, when you push the stroller, so then it would be forbidden. However, if you think that the second answer of Rabbi Yehuda is correct, namely that the reason it's permitted is not because of davar sheino miskaven, but because what it's doing is not choresh, so then it will be permitted even in psik resha. So, lehalacha, Rabbi Eider quotes from Moshe Feinstein that saying, we paskin, like the answer of Pnei Koveshet, that the reason it's permitted to pull a stroller on Shabbos is because it depresses and compacts the earth, but it doesn't dig into the earth, and therefore he thinks it's mutter, even in case of Psik Resha, to pull a stroller, to pull a wheelchair, and the like, on Shabbos, or Shmir Shabbos also has a discussion of this, where he says that mutter lasia glat yaladim b'shabbat v'yom tov lo rak b'kvish salu l'agam b'derach lo sulaf v'pishinasim charitzim ala karka, that is permitted to pull a stroller even on these not smoothed out ground, even though it's going to make a ditch of a, you know, a groove of sort. Lo rasia b'kav yashar kim gam lefanav tegam l'stadim mutter, and he said it's permitted even not just to drag it straight, but even to turn it to the sides. Now that really would be the psik resha case, because when you pull it straight, so it doesn't necessarily make a groove, but when you turn it, that almost inevitably does. So again, if you think there's a problem with psik resha, davar sheino miskaven, it's on that axis, and that should be forbidden. If you think the reason it's mutter is mipnei shekoveshet, because this is called depressing the earth and not digging, so then it should be permitted. And he writes in the footnote, Shamati Megon Rosham Zaman Orbach Zatzalz for Soimo, Shrey Dochlitz Dodin Achol Shekvar Nechbash, because the reason is permitted, because it doesn't dig, it pushes aside the ground, the sand that had already been compressed. And maybe when it's really fine, so it's like ground ashes, and then you're not even softening the ground. So Maman of Shach, if it's really soft, and it just digs in, maybe it's already soft enough that, and this comes back to our Ripu Yara thing, it's not Ripu Yara, it's already soft, and therefore it'd be permitted. And if it was harder, so then it's all you're doing is compacting and not digging, and therefore it would be mutter. And he said it's only a problem when it's a kisei and safsal, which are really heavy. And here he says it's a psik resha, but psik resha d'lo nichale, which according to the Aruch is permitted, plus the fact that it is klachar yad, and it's mekalkel. And it's not really psik resha because sometimes it doesn't do this. And he thinks this is true even of a large stroller. So you see that the moskim for, in general, are machmir, or mekel rather. However, some are more machmir. With regards to when softer ground, especially putting it to the sides, but there Bavadia is mekel as well. So definitely pulling a stroller straight seems to be mutter. Some of the poskim are machmir when you're doing it to the sides, possibly on softer ground, but other poskim are willing to be mekel. Another point I've already mentioned this a few times, is that some cases are choresh in the field, but they're bona in the house. So some of the discussion that you'll find in Poskim around choresh, they use this opportunity to talk about sweeping in your house, which the Gemara says is aser, because you might be mashve gumot. But I'm not going to go through all the details. I have a shir online about it from my Beit HaShir. The consensus of most Poskim is that in houses where everybody has finished floors and doesn't have dirt floors, so sweeping is not a problem because the gzeira no longer applies under such circumstances. Again, there's some who dispute that, but for our purposes, let's assume that most poskim say it is mutter. Another issue is that there's a gzeira against playing marbles and the like on the floor because you might come to smooth out the ground. And again, many poskim are makil based on the above. Svara, namely that nowadays our houses all have finished floors, and therefore this is not a concern, and the Gzera doesn't apply. The last issue, Lemaisa, I wanted to talk about was sandboxes. So, what is the halacha with regard to a sandbox? So it starts really with a Gemara in Shabbos, in the context of Hatmana, where the Gemara is talking about what you can insulate, Bechol and sand. So the Gemara says that, so in that context, the Gemara says that you can't put in sand, maybe because of Gzeresh Hem Yatmin Beremes, because you might put it in ashes, like smoldering ashes. And Rabbi Yosef says, the problem with sand is that you're moving Afar Mimkomo, and what's the Nafkamin? Afar Tichoach. So if you look at Tosfos there, Tosfos says that what would be the problem? Why is the Gemara concerned that you might move dirt from its place? Because he says it might be chofer, which is a tolada of choresh. And even with super, super fine dirt, so that might be a problem. But then he says that's not always true. He said there are different levels of softness, and he says it depends. It depends how soft it is. If it's really, really, really fine, such that you put an egg on it and it would just sink, so there he thinks choresh wouldn't apply. So there are really three levels. There's tougher ground, there's soft ground, which is still somewhat diggable, and then there's really soft ground, where he thinks there would be no concern at all. Now that position, Reinu Tam, is picked up by the poskim, and many argue that's really what a sandbox is, because a sandbox, you know, sand in the sandbox, you put anything on it and it depresses, it has no staying power to it at all. And therefore, if you look, for example, Shmir Shabbos, in the last source here, he writes that Aim Lim Chobi Ladim Masachim Bechol Hadak Avayavesh. You shouldn't stop children from using sandboxes, Shulchan Lasarzem Od Yom, as long as it was made as a sandbox, right? Not just regular sand, but a sandbox, because then you solve Muktzah problems as well. Aval also Arbe Vezachol B'mayim Elishbroch Mayim Allah Mishamisra Lisha. He just notes that you can't pour water into it, not because of Koresh issues, but because of Lisha, because it's kneading. But if you go to the beach where it wasn't set aside beforehand, or sand which is used for building, it's also because of mukta, but again not because of choresh. So those are just some of the issues that come up lemaisa in choresh, and so that is to finish up that topic, and we will continue with Borer on Friday.